Ready to go? All right, we said we'd circle back to a couple of items that we thought deserved a little more discussion or questions that were posed, and I guess Lily Bay is one of them, obviously an area of some concern. Gwen, do you have, you indicated you had some things you want to ask about there.
I guess it's not news that Lily Bay is an area that has been of a lot of concern, certainly raised within the record, and also I think on the part of commissioners in general. For me, in looking at this proposal at this point in time, I guess it's perhaps one of the primary area where I still have concerns about. The intensity, even though we've scaled it back, or the proposal shows it being scaled back considerably, which I think is a tremendous improvement to the development area or what we have there. The 400 units, it gives me a little bit of concern just because of the amount of activity that it brings to an area where there's an existing maybe 100 or so units, if I have the information correct there. So the impact on this area is, I'm trying to gauge that impact and how significant that is in this proposal and how that relates to what we're getting with respect to conservation land is one that I've had to think about a lot over the last day in particular. Some of my concerns are with respect to its impact on Lily Bay State Park, which I think is a gem, one of our gems in that region, impacts on the number of traffic or the amount of traffic in Lily Bay. So I think that it warrants a little more discussion with respect to some of these issues. And I guess I'm interested in hearing if anybody else, commissioners, have any concerns with respect to that or whether you feel that those have been addressed. I do think that the language that's been developed to require that at a certain point, I think it's 185 units, that there need to be some studies done to determine what the wildlife impacts are of that amount of development based on actual data as opposed to projections. I think that's a really good thing, and it gives me some level of comfort. And I guess that's all I want to just stay for right now. But
does any staff want to make any comments concerning particularly perhaps the this development relative to what's already there or what its position relative to the park traffic
yes,
issues
we can,
that we haven't
certainly talk about what we know from the record, and the record perhaps isn't as complete as we would have hoped it would be in some ways, but what we do know from the record is that Lily Bay State Park is a very important recreational facility for this region. If we were to characterize that, again, trying to do what I described yesterday, which was take an arm's length view and try to describe the character in some accepted mm-hmm. objective terms, the recreation opportunity spectrum is possibly particularly appropriate for a state park to do that. And the area is described by those using this, the experts using this measure as managed as a rural setting. You'll recall that on the spectrum it goes from primitive to semi-primitive with a couple flavors to rural natural to rural developed to urban, suburban. This is in the rural part. So it's kind of in the middle of the types of settings that managers manage for recreation. It's got improved road access. It's got man-made facilities, very specific to providing amenities for the variety of visitors there and so forth.
So this is specifically the park you're talking
the
about?
The park itself, yes. So that's one piece of information that we have at our disposal. It is not a primitive campsite as you might find up in Spencer Bay, for example, or Cowans Bay. It's a campground designed for families and the like. So that's one piece of information we have. A second piece of information we have, I think there's broad agreement from the experts that it is visually relatively isolated from the rest of Lily Bay, from Lily Bay. There are a couple of exceptions to that. Sugar Island would have a direct view of some of the development on Lily Bay. Some of the Sugar Island campsites are oriented to the north and away from where the Lily Bay development is proposed, but some of it is aimed right at the Lily Bay development, and that would have an effect. And Sugar Island is an area that was characterized on this recreation opportunity spectrum as semi-primitive.
I just point out, Sugar Island's not part of Lily Bay State Park, though. It's
Understand.
A separate entity.
It is a separate, yes. Thank you. There is a small camping area that has some views of a Lily Bay development area that most of Lily Bay State Park does not have. So that's another piece of information. Third piece of information is that Plum Creek had proposed that there be some exemptions to the noise standards, particularly in the resort districts. And we have recommended, as you know, that those be pulled out. A fourth piece of information has to do with traffic. The traffic, the modeled traffic projections at full build-out in the vicinity of the Lily Bay State Park intersection with Lily Bay Road would be, at full build-out, would be about 3,500 vehicles per day. That falls off once you pass the Lily Bay development intersection and get up to Cacajo to, there are disputes, as we know, as to the numbers, but the GORL projections, which are accepted by Maine DOT, are a little over 1,000 per day, AADT, average annual daily traffic. A fifth piece of information that's on the record, it's not a strong analytical piece, is that the demographics of the resort area or the Lily Bay development versus the campground area there, the presence of the resort might increase some visitorship to the park, but there is no strong evidence on the record that it would, that most people would be going to the resort to be at the resort and wouldn't be going to the resort in order to camp at the park. And as long as there are some water access facilities provided in the development, they would not necessarily be putting a lot of additional pressure on the boating facilities at the park. I think that the record suggests in not very quantifiable ways, but certainly suggests in impressionistic ways that boating activity in Lily Bay will increase, and that's likely to have an effect on others who are already boating there. By our calculations, this area doesn't exceed the LURC guidelines for areas that would have surface water use conflicts. The number of units per acre of surface waters in this area, certainly in Lily Bay proper, but especially if you include the other areas that bound Lily Bay Township, you're within the limits. So those are some of the things that are on the record about Lily Bay State Park. I can also talk a little bit more about what 404 units might actually mean in as a level of density or intensity to an area. Because 404 sounds like a big number, and it is a big number. It's a big number for this area. It's a big number for any, almost any development in Maine, in almost any town or city. So it's a very legitimate concern. It will be, just to, as I have thought about this and put it into some perspective that might be useful to you and it might not, and that would be fine too. But Lily Bay Township, if you thought of it as a community, as a town, it's a township of about 22,000 acres. I'm estimating that about almost 22,000 acres are in Plum Creek's ownership. There's a little bit of land in Lily Bay Township that is not in their ownership, but let's just say 22,000 acres. There are something over 100 structures in Lily Bay Township today, and 404 units are being proposed. We don't know how many of those will be hotel units and how many of those will be townhouse timeshare-type units and how many will be single-family homes. But if we said that all 404 were freestanding structures, single-family homes, that added to the number that Plum Creek has documented as being structures with at least $1,500 of assessed value, which I suppose could be a garage or a shed, but they've incorporated that in total, and looked at the overall density, you'd be at one dwelling unit per 40 to 50 acres of land in that township. That would be akin, if this helps at all, and this is just, sometimes it's easier to try to visualize numbers if you can relate it to something that with which you're familiar, but that would be akin to the town of Perry in Washington County, or which has about 22,000 acres and about that same number, 500 some odd units, homes. It would be akin to Saint-Agat in Aroostook. It would be akin to the town of Troy north of here in Kennebec County. At that level, Lily Bay Township would never become larger than what those communities are as of year 2000. And my sense is that those places are very rural communities, but it would be different. And it would be different because instead of, as in the case of Troy and Saint-Agat and so forth, where many of the homes are simply spotted along existing roadways, former farms or existing farms or simple homes of people who are living there and working someplace else, and therefore kind of evenly spread across the town, the town's roadways, taking advantage of road frontages. Here, you'd have those units at about one unit per 3 acres, in a very confined 1,500 plus or minus acre area, and then you'd have 0 units per acre across the other 20,000 acres. And that is the nature of clustering. That is the nature of, you know, developing activity centers and conserving the rest as open space. They will look and feel different when you're in the middle. You know, when you're in Perry, you're never in the middle of something. Here, you're in the middle, potentially, of a development in 1 minute, and 10 minutes later, you're in the middle of a forest. So I don't know if that helps at all to put what 404 might mean. And, of course, some of these 404 might be hotel units. We don't know. And then the density would be a little less. So I don't say these things to convince you one way or another, but just to help you put things into perspective. Sometimes it's nice to know that an acre is a football field. Because when you say 1 unit per acre, well, what does that mean? If you say 1 acre per football field, oh, now I get it. And so this might help create a picture in your mind. And I think Ron wanted to add something about Lily Bay State Park.
No, it wasn't Lily Bay State Park, Evan. It was Commissioner Hilton. You made, and I may have been misinterpreting it on a different issue, the relationship between our recommendation for 404 units with the studies in this acreage and conservation. And maybe I'm overreading, but my sense was there may have been some belief on your part that we were attracted by the conservation, and therefore the number of units didn't bother us. And I want to say quite clearly, if I created that impression in my response to a question you asked yesterday, I regret that, because this was not in any way a desired result in search of a rationale. This was exactly the opposite, and we feel that quite strongly, that we are very comfortable with the appropriate development. And that is where you look first and foremost. And if we weren't comfortable with this level of development, with studies in this acreage, we would never get to conservation. Having reached that level of comfort, as Aga and I discussed yesterday, there is a significant waiver of adjacency that comes with that level of comfort, approximately 300 units, which directly and immediately invokes comparable conservation. If you do not have this development, and therefore this waiver of adjacency, and therefore, and as well as undue adverse impacts that could otherwise result, then, as I responded to you yesterday, I believe, and I think Evan and Aga believe, that the conservation would have to be rethought. But it doesn't work. We want to say quite emphatically in the reverse order. And I don't know, as I said, whether I was overreading your statement, but I just wanted to make that really clear from our point of view.
Thank you for clarifying. That isn't the way that I was thinking, just to assure you. But it's good to hear you restate that.
Anybody else? Comments on Lily Bay?
Mr. Chairman, I was quite vocal, I think, yesterday, so I think I'm on the record.
I think you are. You even made the paper, so... Rebecca?
This is all of these decisions are very difficult, and I listened very carefully to Mr. Rickert's explanation, and I do share Gwen's concerns. I mean, 404, as I look at the total on page 445, I believe that's the largest amount in any one zone, I think, or in one area, and a sort of a one unit every 3 acres as a possibility within the context of, I think it's 22,000. It's I am struggling with it, but I'm also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about the Open Space Institute report and the potential for development and the potential or lack thereof of conservation, and I'm trying to balance those two pieces. So I'm not saying, I guess I have concerns, but within the context of the whole project and all of the pieces, and I had them listed so that I wouldn't forget any of them, that I think the 404 is acceptable, but it's only when taken within the context of this whole, you know, the proposals and the recommendations contained in this entire document, that if there was a piece missing, you know, if the easements didn't go into effect within 45 days, and if Long Pond and Upper Wilson were not, those sections were not proposed to be removed, and on and on and on. I think my heartburn over 404 would be much greater, but it's sort of tempered by all of these other pieces when taken as a whole.
Thank you, Rebecca. Anybody else?
Can I just follow that?
Go ahead, Gwen.
With,
yeah,
I think,
sure.
Is the next, perhaps the next topic. Rebecca, I think you stated that very well, and that that reasoning, I guess, is what gives me some comfort in the total number of units that are being proposed here. This is a package, and you know, there's a potential for getting a lot of conservation land out of this, particularly when you combine both the offset or balance conservation easement with the framework, and all the recommendations that go along with that, and what's being proposed here. So I think there's a potential of getting a lot of benefit from this, and I think these recommendations have looked at many different ways or many different tools that can be used to design development and locate it to the, such that it will have minimal negative impacts and hopefully the region will also benefit from the any economic impacts. And quality of life impacts that this development may offer. I guess that's sort of the big picture for me in looking at this proposal and these recommendations. And I'll be very interested to hear what some of the comments are and reactions that we get to this over the next 30 days or once the comment period starts, mm-hmm. because we're still in this process. And anyway, I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Wayne. I guess what I'd like to do now is just referencing your table of contents, just to make sure that the staff has adequately comfortable with what we've discussed, that there aren't any holes here. We go through that. Not topic by topic, but major heading.
Are there somebody concerned about total number of
units? We just talked about that, I think. I thought you talked about that.
I sort of did. I talked about the 404 in Lily Bay, but I guess I could extend that same rationale out there. And again, as I want to reiterate for myself, really, as I'm going through this in my mind, that all of these pieces, if we're going to look at 975 residential and over 1,000 potential resort, my mind is only set at ease when I look at the fact that that what this recommendation is calling for is within 45 days, the legacy and the balance and the roaches are going to be within finalization of the plan. That we're not, there's no, that this question of maybe if in 5 years it may happen, that this is a condition that has to be met. That's extremely important. And again, the issues about Upper Wilson and Long Pond, the funding mechanisms for the recreation management, for the wildlife, and all of the standards and all of the thought that's been put into minimizing impacts, that it makes the whole thing... In my mind, nobody's going to get everything that they want, but this proposal seems to provide the most benefit for every entity concerned. But it has to be taken as a whole. Mm-hmm. You take one piece out and the whole... It's sort of... What is that game? You pull the little blocks out. Jenga? Yeah. You pull out the wrong block or one block, and perhaps the whole thing crumbles. So I want to make that absolutely clear that whether it's Lily Bay and 404 units or the 975 for the entire project, that it's a package deal.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've all said that basically. So, Gwen. All right. You wanted me to go through each one of those major headings, right, Aga?
Yeah, it would be very helpful for the staff to circle back maybe through the use of the headers in the table of contents and get a sense from the commission as a whole whether you would like to specifically amend any of the recommendations within those categories. Mm-hmm. And maybe as a starting point, I can list what the staff has heard as comments that I'm assuming may evolve into recommendation amendments. And then if you could let me know whether that is the wish of the commission, it would be very helpful for us to develop the the document of these deliberations.
Okay.
So with respect to caretaker-manager housing, Commissioner Hilton had commented that that language should be tightened up so that that would not become a loophole for, expanding the actual total number of units within the plan area. And I believe suggested that a definition be added, and we agree with that. We understand the objective here, and we would recommend that we would come up with a definition to be determined at the second phase or the second tier phase of the review here or set of recommendations. Did I capture that right? With Commissioner Schaefer, with respect to Blue Ridge and Rockwood, had commented on or had asked the question about dock limits on the stretch of the Rockwood-Blue Ridge development area that is facing or that is part of the Brassway Lake shoreline. And we're going to look back at the record on that and return to you if we feel that a modified recommendation is necessary on that piece. And then with respect to the hierarchy of the scale of commercial uses, there were several comments, one by Commissioner Hilton suggesting that there would be some better worded choices in describing neighborhood scale, and Commissioner White making the suggestion that perhaps there should be two residential zones to make it very clear what commercial uses are permitted where. And so we will plan on addressing those with a refined recommendation as part of our write-up. Those were the notes that I had, but I would certainly welcome, anything that I've missed here.
I don't see anybody offering any, so...
I'm a little confused. Is this under Beaver Cove or?
I understood that as a broader request your part,
right?
Make sure that there's no unintended loophole with respect to the manager caretaker housing in each development area, and as well as the commercial uses. That was also with respect to all the zones, not just Beaver Cove. Were there any other modifications that the commission would like to make to either the development area-specific recommendations or the land use zone and standards recommendations? Okay. On the conservation side, Commissioner Hilton, you had... highlighted the question as to whether, with respect to certain uses, construction, removal, septic, water, whether there should be a requirement or language added to make sure that the developer looks in the development areas as part of the no alternative siting recommendation. I'm not sure if I made that
I think, Commissioner Hilton, what this was, you and I were in a discussion of this, where this came up, whether if a gravel pit, for instance, were located in a place that affected adversely conservation values. In addition to, there should be some additional requirement of looking in the development areas as well to see if those needs could be met. I frankly expressed some concern or what might be concern there, and I think we said we would see about some language on that. I'm not sure what we'll come back with to you, but we hear your issue.
That's fine. I'll use your judgment on that, and it was just something I think more for you to consider than a strong recommendation. How's that?
Okay, thank you, Commissioner White. You had in the context of Plum Creek's role on the management advisory team had suggested non-voting membership or advisory role for Plum Creek, or I think you said that relationship needs to be figured out and tied up somehow, and we will look into that and add that to the recommendation.
Those were words that Ron used as we went through the the packet, and I just wondered where we were with it. So yeah, if you look into it.
So we'll make sure to clarify that recommendation, that our intent was not to exclude Plum Creek from dialogue.
I'm still trying to sort out what happens when the landowner turns over the easement, which is really a conservation easement removing the development rights, couched in some sort of language. But certainly the landowner still retains the rest of the rights that he hasn't given away. So with that regard, I would think that he would want to at least be cognizant of what was happening with that group. And I think there's a way to make that happen.
Right. Well, let me just interject here, Aga. As you're going through these individual commissioner suggestions for changes to the recommendations, if other commission members disagree with the suggestion that's coming from one commission member, it's really important that they speak up at this point, because we don't want staff coming back with changes made at the request of one commission member and having six others say, I don't like it. So.
Yes, that would be much appreciated. Thank you. So going down the list of my notes on the conservation side, Commissioner Hilton, you had also asked for some clarification on what we would be asking to be included in the baseline documentation with respect to the terms rare, exemplary, unique, and we'll look into that. A question really for Commissioner Netto. There was a dialogue and exchange related to ATV usage in the Roaches area, and I think throughout the plan, perhaps. With respect to the road easements. And I wasn't quite sure whether you were asking us to just clarify or check into whether the landowner can restrict at its option under those easements. Can restrict ATV usage under its option?
I guess my question was, where are the ATV trails?
Currently on the ground.
Right, currently on the ground, and where are they proposed, if any?
Well, we can certainly provide you with the information that is on the record on location. I'm not sure if there is a map. There may be one with the John Daigle testimony. We can look into that. And in terms of what is being proposed, aside from this question of the vehicular easements and whether or not ATV usage would be part of that recreation vehicle language, which we will look into,
okay.
I don't believe there are any legal grantings proposed here for ATV usage.
I think that was the issue, at least that was my issue, as to whether we were talking about the 57 miles of roads that were going to be somebody was going to be given an easement on those roads. And as we looked at the easement language, although it wasn't in our language here, it just said vehicular access or vehicular use in this. But in the easement language, it said recreational vehicular use.
Mm-hmm.
But it still left open the question of what is a recreational vehicle. So
okay,
if
so we will
tie
check.
That down, it would be good.
We will check whether ATVs are included as a as a vehicular use. In those
and areas. I think there are two sides to that. One is obviously people wanting to travel by ATV. The other is a safety issue because other vehicles will be using these roads as well, including logging trucks and things.
And did we understand correctly that at least some of the commissioners wanted to make sure the landowner continues to have the right to regulate the use of ATVs on those roads, or no?
Yes.
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 We need to clear it up.
Okay, got it.
Maybe clarify, but I think that's certainly a landowner prerogative, and they have to have it because they have liability for that in some way.
Commissioner Hilton, your suggestion to add Beaver Cove to the representation on the recreation fund, unless we hear objections, we would suggest modifying that recommendation to add the town of Beaver Cove to that list. Okay. Commissioner Laverty, you had raised a concern to make sure that there is landowner representation that's not necessarily legally dominating the decision-making with respect to that recreation fund, and we'll look into that as well and come back with any changes if we feel it's necessary to make sure that objective is reached.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at August's screen, and I realize that in our little listing we missed a related one, which is the whole amending the purposes of these funds and look into how we can think about that happening that both you, Commissioner Laverty, and Commissioner Kurtz raised. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it was related.
Thank you. I think that's the only thing we have other than just to respond to a comment from Commissioner White or a suggestion that the Recreation Fund have a grant-giving component, and our sense is that there would be nothing to stop that board from entertaining that option for the intended purposes of recreation mitigation.
So I get, yeah, that's fine. I gather that the purpose here is to populate the board, and then the board will decide how it's going to deal with the...
How it's going to allocate that funding, yeah. And part of that could be through grant giving, if
right.
It so wished.
Okay, thank you.
I believe that's all I have on my list on the conservation recommendations. Is there anything that I missed?
Just Aga, I think a lot of comments, many of mine and others, were addressing sort of the context in which these recommendations are made. And in many instances, it says this, you know, direct the staff to go out and develop additional language. And I think we tried to give some guidance as to what we thought that language would look like. The absence of that, those concerns not represented in a laundry list, I'm assuming that they will be reflected somehow in the language change that you're going to come up with.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't want, I mean, I might have some concerns about those recommendations if I saw language that departed from, I think, some of the concerns that I mentioned. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes to really the second tier
okay.
Level of detail that we okay. refer to.
I think that's a really good interchange that I think we may have neglected to say at the setup to this piece, which when we come back with the written document capturing this, you may see some specific language, but you may see, as Aga just said, and I think you were saying, Commissioner, you may see language that asks, as it does already in this book, that asks staff to develop specific language after the 30-day comment period to address this issue, in which you would get another thing. So I we're not representing on all of these things. Certainly, for instance, on the two easement holders, the language will be a direct reflection of what you all agree to. But some of these, like how the funds might change over time would be a directive to explore that and come back to us with come back to you with language. Okay.
I just want to make sure that I was understanding correctly that is you are cognizant of those concerns expressed, not just me but others, and that although they weren't recommendation for specific changes, they were, I think, recommendation for a certain direction in that type of wording, if I'm being specific enough.
Yes. And then you would evaluate, all seven of you would evaluate the wording to see if it meets your needs, if on reflection it doesn't work, or if some amendment to specific language is required.
And process-wise, just to clarify, I just want to make sure everybody understands that level of detail would come after the 30-day comment period, whereby you will have had an opportunity to review comments from the parties and the applicant on these core recommendations, and not the level of detail that we're just discussing. I did not have any, in my notes, I did not make any reference to changes to the recommendations on any of the additional plan elements or the implementation mechanisms other than what I just listed here on the recreation fund. So is that accurate?
Okay. Anybody want to correct that notion?
On the recreation?
No, on any other additional plan elements.
Anything else? I think we've covered it, but...
It just we did cover the Fish and Wildlife law book issue or overlay. I mean, that's part of the easement we figured out.
Right. Yeah.
Already. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Aga, given that, what does that mean now for your group as far as the next step?
Well, as far as the next step, what we will do is in a sort of track changes format, make the modifications that I just identified to the recommendations in this document and bring that back to you with a request to post that to public comment. And given the list I have, I think it's reasonable to say that we could, with Catherine Carroll's agreement, I would like to put that on the June agenda for your consideration next week.
The June agenda is a meeting next Wednesday, right?
Right. So we would bring the red line document with us in hand and walk you through these modifications as I had just described them to make sure that the write-up captures your intent.
Okay. I don't have any objection to it, but I don't have to do it either, so I admire your willingness to take that on, because this certainly will make the process go much quicker. Keep
yes.
us 30 days.
Mm-hmm. I have a volunteer, say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my assumption is that what you're attempting to do is to summarize the comments here and present them to us next Wednesday. What I'm concerned about is next Wednesday sort of reinventing the wheel and going through each one of these things all over again. And my assumption is that we won't do that. We'll look at the document as a whole to determine whether it's consistent with our thoughts at this stage, and maybe take some action on that document, or at least approve that document for
The only action we're going to take is to say it can go out to public
right,
comment.
Right, but I guess I'm speaking also, quite frankly, to myself, and yeah. I would hope that we wouldn't.
I don't intend to engage in another two-day discussion about it.
Gavel me down.
Yes.
All right.
I'll be happy to do that.
But Aga, could I ask what? Do you intend to bring back a draft document for, you're not going to bring this back again. You'll be bringing a recommendation document.
We correct? Will bring a version of this document that captures the amendments to the recommendations mm-hmm. as I have just laid them out, which will be our representation of what the commission's view is needs to change to the concept plan that we would then ask you to post to public comment and seek responses from the parties on these elements.
You said this would be in redline format so the commission could quickly identify where the changes are.
That's right.
Other than that, it's going to look just like this. And format-wise, we'll do the same format?
Yes, if that is helpful, we would prefer to keep it in the same
format. I mean, for me, it would be nice. I assume the parties would find it helpful since it would look pretty much like something they've already seen.
We will change the cover to say commission.
Right, and say that's a result of the commission's.
Commission write-up.
Okay. Is that clear to everyone? Okay.
I have just one request that has to do with formatting in here. There were a couple of places where it was a little confusing as to whether what in the concept plan proposal was still part of the recommendation. I think when we went through this, I think Bart, you, and there were a couple there. If you could somehow make that just a little more clear, I don't know, however. Do you follow what I'm...
Can you give me an example of that? That would be very helpful.
And let me,
or I can talk to you. Sometime.
Let me just say, because I think I can't remember what it was, Commissioner Hilton, but you and I had a dialogue on this. The operating principle in this is that if we don't say anything about what's in the concept plan, it's fine.
Yeah, just be clear about that.
Okay.
Because I found that I didn't realize it was happening until I got through, and then I noticed Bart.
I think what Gwen was referring to, so like you say, there's two columns. One says concept plan proposal, one says recommendation. Yeah. And in some cases, you're saying they were the same. You jumped across?
No.
Well, I read the recommendation, and I thought the recommendation was completely replacing what was in the proposal.
Here's, and I understand now, it's only taken me a month of working on this to understand this. The concept plan recommendation, the things that are listed there are, I think, generally intended for you only those pieces. I mean, not the concept plan the concept plan proposal that is listed there are only those pieces of maybe a larger proposal in that particular area where we are recommending changes. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that a concept plan is proposing 8 elements on something, and there are only 3 of them that we're recommending to you changes, it is generally a statement of what's in the concept plan on those 3 elements that's in the middle column and then our proposed changes in the right-hand column.
But if you find something that is unclear with respect to the recommendations in terms of formatting, please don't hesitate to let me know, and I will try to build that into the write-up.
Ag, I have a suggestion. I'm sorry, I hate to create more work for you, but one of the a lot of the footnotes say see recommendations, planning and design within development areas, and I wondered if there'd be a way if you could put the corresponding page, that would sort of keep the stream of thought going, rather than digging around looking for it. We could just go right to it and kind of keep the thought process.
That's doable.
As I said, I hate to create more work for you, but it would make it easier. Thank you.
Sure.
Having made these suggestions, I think this is a great, it was very easy to work through, and really appreciate all the work that you put into setting it up that way.
Thank you.
Aga, the meeting where we're going to address the next iteration of this is next Wednesday.
Right.
We're going to get the packets today, I understand, have just been delivered, so that we can prepare for that meeting. And I realize the time constraint, but I'd be a little concerned about walking into the meeting and getting this thing cold. When do you anticipate getting the draft of these recommendations to us?
I will make it available as soon as possible, but I'm not sure I can guarantee that you won't get it the morning of the meeting. If you're concerned about that, there should be nothing in that document that comes as a surprise to you. The items that I just listed off are what we will be adding to this document, and they will be redlined, and I don't think it will take that long for us to highlight that on the fly during the course
of
that meeting.
I know this wasn't intended, but I don't want to be caught with language that I've never seen before.
Right.
I understand.
Why don't we If I were in your situation, I would share your concern. Why don't we say this? We think we can do it. That's what our intent is. Our hope would be to get this to you. Our expectation would be to get this to you 24 hours electronically as well as to the parties in advance. And if we can't meet that expectation and you get it and the commission, you or other commissioners are not comfortable,
we can make a judgment.
You can make a judgment then whether you're not prepared to go forward and you need another month. We're just trying to move this along in ways that we think we can meet.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's in everyone's interest to move this along as quickly as possible, but at the same time, I think we want to make sure that, I think the process so far, this is an editorial on my part, has been very effective in terms of providing information, and I like the idea that these recommendations are made on the record. So I think just that we continue sort of the integrity of the process, but at the same time move forward to the next stage as quickly as possible. Again, another balancing act here.
Okay. Invite us to the premiere.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
I guess, Warren, what you said, you will email us just the specific language changes you're proposing.
We will email you the entire document. That'll be easy.
Because I think it is very important that we keep this process moving along, because I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, it's kind of wearing. And I'm sure it is for the applicant as well as all the other participants. So I think we need to move this along. I think we have a good process going, and we need to keep it moving.
Mr. Chair, what we can do, and I'm only responding to a wince that I saw from Commissioner Hilton, is we will email you the entire document, redlined or track changes, and then, with AGA reserving the right to kick me brutally under the table, we will excerpt or excise those pages on which there are changes. Mm. So you can follow them exactly with the page numbers and create a separate document that just has a document with those changes in it. And I'm about to move to my right.
This is from somebody who does not know how to paginate in Word.
We will do our damnedest to make that happen, and I will make sure that Ron does it.
Well, I think, Agar, if anybody can do it, you can, so, given what we've seen so far in this whole process. So.
Yeah, kudos to you guys. I mean, especially Agar, you've been working overtime, I know, so appreciate it.
Mm. All right. Is there anything else that we need to...
No, I think the staff has gotten the direction it needs. Okay. Thank you very much.
Counsel?
Are you further, Your Honor.
I'm not going to ask the commissioners if they got anything. With that, I appreciate the participation of all the commissioners. I think we had a fairly robust discussion of all the issues that were critical. As with anything we do, I'm sure that we didn't please everybody, but that's a virtually impossible task, so I've given up on that long ago. But as I reiterated, I hope that all of you will stick with the process. It's a struggle, I mean, for everybody, but now that we're this far along, I'd like to see it to completion. So, what, you're going to whisper in my ear? Okay, Catherine, just reminded me, our next meeting is in Orono at the Black Bear Inn. And the other issue was a transcript that Lisa is working on will be available. I asked her to have it available next week, I believe, within a week of the time we're here. I assume maybe she'll do it quicker, but we gave her the goal of a week, right? Is that going to work for you?
I'm sorry, I was not paying attention. with respect to the transcript?
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
We were asked, and I said, well, hopefully we could have it within a week, because that would coincide with our meeting and then coincide with the review period going forward, and people, if they want to review what we had to say, they would have that transcript to do so.
Yeah, we can structure the start of the comment period in such a way to coincide with the availability of the transcript, if that would make sense.
I'm ready. Okay. Then I guess the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.